totally married.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Totally married.
The old ball and chain.
I do.
I do.
I'm tired. Maybe tomorrow.
Welcome to Totally Married. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Andy.
We're married, totally.
Totally.
We're also parents.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a dad.
I'm a mom. So we're exactly 1 week and a half day into this adventure when we're recording this. And wanted to share with everyone the whole nine, the birth story, the how the week's been, how amazing our girl is.
The whole kit and caboodle.
I'm incredibly weepy.
You are. That's so cute.
I don't know if it's cute.
I find it very cute and heartwarming.
It's a mix of exhaustion and elation. And I have to say, I'm so fucking tired. Like, I looked at myself in the mirror today and I was like, whoa. But in spite of that and some physical stuff happening to me that's very uncomfortable, best week of my life. I'm saying with tears streaming down my face. But this
are those happy tears or sad tears or both?
I think it's all of it. It's just emotion.
One big emotion.
I'm a walking emotion, but I can't even like talk about her. She's sleeping in her little sleeper right next to us.
Yeah,
I can't even talk about her, look at her without crying. Those are happy tears, obviously. She's perfect.
She's amazing.
So this I'm sorry. Feel free to...
Yeah, sorry. I'm just going to I don't know. I'm just following your lead.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Where do we begin?
Yeah, I guess we should begin with the birth.
Yeah.
The story.
Yeah.
First of all, let me just say this won't be our usual Totally Married. If you have no interest in the baby or anything, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
We're not doing any questions or anything today. We're just talking about our kid, our amazing kid. So, birth story.
Birth story.
It all began, I guess, I woke up one night at midnight and was having contractions. I had been really crampy the day before. Actually, the 2 days leading up to it, I knew something was up. And we had been like walking around, doing walks. I forget.
Yeah, I don't even remember what we had been doing before.
Do you remember
that.
Life before?
Oh, it's so weird. I don't remember anything right now. I can. I'll be able to revisit this labor time though. That I have pretty vivid.
Okay,
but
so
before that. What were we doing that week? No idea.
Well, one thing that I know that's really funny is I think, you know how when you're really sick or you're feel like a sick is coming, but you have like a major week or something happening,
mm-hmm.
and somehow your body like puts it off, and then the minute that thing is over, you get like so sick.
Oh, sure.
Well, I think I had a mental thing with that because we've been waiting forever for this handyman to come put the nursery together, which mm-hmm. is like hanging shades and shelves and
mirrors
and photos and all this stuff. And which I'm going to do a blog post about the nursery at some point in time. I really love it. I think it's so
solid.
Cute. So
I feel embarrassed, by the way, that a lot of that handiwork I couldn't have just done.
Yeah, you're not handy at all. No. But this handyman was like solidly booked forever and it kept getting pushed back. And finally he said, okay, I can come do it this day. And when we scheduled it, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm sure I'm going to have had the baby by then, which I would have loved to have had the nursery done.
Right.
Well, the guy came And I think I had my first real contraction, like as he was packing up.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you wanted that nursery ready before the baby showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he left that all that day. I was kind of feeling crappy, crampy. Then at midnight, I woke up and I think I had my first real like contractions that were kind of, you know, closer together. And at two, I couldn't sleep because they were pretty intense out the gate.
Mm-hmm. That's when you woke me up.
Well, at 2 a.m., I was sitting in the nursery and my water broke.
Ah, yes.
What a weird sensation, by the way.
Mm.
Do you know what, do you have
no
any?
No idea. I'm imagining it feels like water just falling out of your vagina.
It was more of like gushes. It was like waves. Yeah.
Like that?
Uh-huh. So anyway, I woke you up and I said, hey, I think we're having a baby today.
And I was like, what?
Huh? And you were like, oh, really? And then you went back to sleep, I think. Right?
Yeah.
You were like, we should get some sleep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you got sleep.
Yeah. For about 2 hours, and then you woke me up and you're like, hey, can you please help me with this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they were coming. It was like, this is it. And I had in my mind, oh my gosh, we're going to have this baby at like 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. today. So contractions continued, were intense. You mm-hmm. were helping me through them.
Timing them, helping you, pushing on your lower back.
Pressure. I had a lot of back pain.
Yeah.
We called the midwife on call overnight. She said, just, you know, keep timing them. And when they get to a certain amount apart, you'll come in. So we did. The big bummer was I couldn't take a bath. Oh, wait, no, I did. I took a bath then. But later I found out I probably shouldn't have. Mm. So anyway, 9 a.m. rolls around and my contractions are 4 minutes apart. They're a minute longish, and it had been going on for a few hours. So we roll up to the birth center.
Yep.
We walk in and I'm like, hey, and the midwife was like, you're not there yet without right. even checking me.
Right.
She could just tell.
Yeah.
Which knowing
a bit of a bummer.
It was a bummer. Yeah. We went into the room and sat there for like an hour to try to relax, but she ended up sending us home.
Yeah. Bummer.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we get home.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to go home, chill out, see if we can rest, see how the contractions go, and they space apart.
They start getting further apart, but more intense.
Right.
So I became incredibly frustrated.
Yes.
Not only this, but, well, I didn't even realize this yet, but because my water had broken, you really only have
for a certain amount of time.
A certain amount of time. It's between 24 hours and like 48
hours.
48 hours. But most doctors is 24 hours. And my backup OBGYN is probably 24 hours.
Till you need to be induced, right?
Right. Well, till you need to go into the hospital because there's a risk of infection. So I couldn't take any more baths. You can only have so many vaginal checks after your water's broken because of risk of infection, which means the midwife can't even really check you a bunch to see what kind of progress you're making. So it's all just like a big question mark at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting frustrated. I'm in a lot of pain. By the way, for anyone who's doing hypnobabies, hypnobirthing, bubble of peace, man. You might not want to, I don't know if you want to listen to this because I used it a lot, but I can't say that this was a painless experience. Okay, so onward ho, and if this feels really long, I apologize. Trust me, it felt really long when we were in it.
It felt like a week.
So continuing on, at one point I was able to take a 45-minute snooze, and I woke up and was so frustrated that I had not had close contractions.
Yeah. They were getting further apart.
Yeah. So that night at like 10 p.m., we went back to the birth center because they wanted to make sure that my water had broken because we were getting to the point where I was going to have to go into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Which, we learned there my water had broken. I was still
it's only, a good sign, but also frustrating.
Yeah,
sign.
I was still only 3 centimeters dilated, which means all these crazy, huge contractions were coming and my body wasn't like responding. On top of that, well, it was 10 p.m., so she said, we'll wait to call your doctor in the morning. So that bought us a little bit of time, but basically, I knew that if we waited until the next day, I just knew it was going to end up in a C-section because at that point, it would have been 2 days with my water broken. It would have been an emergency C-section. And Teddy, by the way, her name is Theodora May Rosen.
Theodora May Rosen in the house.
Calling her Teddy, but I think I'm still going to call her Baby Oprah for the podcast.
Okay.
So Baby Opes would have had to have been in the NICU for a few days.
Which, what does that mean exactly?
In the neonatal intensive care unit. So, like, you and I could have been discharged from the hospital, but she would have had to stay.
Right. So this is, all of this is like bumming you out.
Huge bummer. And right. This is not to say, I mean, listen, for anyone, I feel like I have to be careful about this. My plan and the thing I prepared for was not to have a C-section, and I didn't want to have to recover from surgery, and I didn't want to have to be in a hospital for a couple of days. So that would have been a huge disappointment to me, and I would have definitely had to mourn the loss of this idea of what the birth was that I had prepared for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So, but having said that, at this point, I was kind of resigned to it going that way.
Interesting. My whole thing... The whole time, I never got freaked out. I got freaked out at one moment, I think, which I'll share later.
Uh-huh.
But the whole time, I stayed real calm because I knew that no matter what, it would all be fine. Like, no matter if things stayed on course or, heaven forbid, we had to go to the hospital or, heaven forbid, we had a C-section, my whole thought the whole time was like, it'll be what it'll be, and no matter what, like, everything will be fine, and we'll have this amazing
baby. And everyone's
baby.
Safe. Right?
Yeah, and everything will be great. So I wasn't, like, stressed out, and I don't think I was putting any stress out there, because I was just like, this is going to go down.
No, you were so
how
good.
How it's going to go down.
Both you and the midwives were, or midwife was, like, so kind of, yeah, just calm about everything.
Chill.
Even though it was matter of fact, like, the midwife was telling me, if this doesn't get going in the next 8 hours... You're going to, you know, we're going to have to take you to the hospital.
Right.
And she had been in touch with the backup OBGYN. And so anyway, go home that night. I cannot sleep. The contractions are way too intense. I couldn't lay down. I had to sit in a chair. I did do a lot of hypnobaby stuff overnight, and Andy got a little bit of sleep.
So basically, you had been going 36 hours, like, with no sleep, really.
Mm-hmm.
And these, like, contractions, like, every 20 minutes that are gut-wrenching.
Yeah, they were really intense. I will say when I was able to really focus hard on, like, releasing and relaxing through them, it made them easier to deal with. But at that point, I think I was so exhausted, I just couldn't even, I couldn't focus enough to relax.
Mm-hmm.
So that morning, Andy wakes up and I had not slept at all. They were still really far apart. They were still like 20 minutes apart.
Yeah.
We call the midwife and she says,
Elizabeth needs to get some rest.
My body's confused. It's not responding. Like, it's, and I was scared to try to get rest because I thought then the labor would just stop.
Right. And you'd run out of time and have to go to the hospital.
Yeah. So. Yeah. She convinced, I guess that I didn't do this completely medication free because she tells Andy to make me drink a huge glass of wine and take 4 Benadryl, which I was like, are you trying to kill me?
And you would only take 2 Benadryl. And then I was texting with the midwife. She'll only take 2. And the midwife was like, nope, needs to take 4.
So,
and so I made you take 2 more.
The point was to knock me out, but the real point was to turn my brain off because the midwife could tell, knew I was like freaking out. So sure enough, I took it and like 45 minutes later, Andy went to take Ruby out or something and he comes back in and I am screaming, screaming, bubble of peace, ladies, screaming bloody murder. My contractions were on top of each other. The most pain painful. Like, I really thought I couldn't do it. By the way, the other reason the hospital was such a bummer to me is because I knew the minute we got there, I would get an epidural.
And you didn't want to get an epidural.
I didn't want to, right. But I knew if I were within any sort of convenience of getting one, I would have gotten one because I was just so, I was not coping well.
Sure.
So Andy gets back. I'm losing my shit. He's like, this is go time. So he calls the midwife.
Well, I knew it was go time a little before that. I thought things started getting intense really quickly. And I was like, okay, I got to take the dog out. I got to make sure we're like ready to go. And I took the dog out. And when I came back in, you'd gone from like DEFCON 8 to DEFCON 10. And you just looked like your eyes were glazed over. You, and we learned this in our baby class, had all the signs that you were in this called transition stage.
Oh, yeah. What were the signs?
For one, loss of modesty. You were standing like in the dining room without any underwear, just standing there, which is not like you.
Right.
And your eyes were like totally glazed over and you looked very scared. And I, like, you just looked completely different. And I was like, okay, this is... Like, I'd remember, they tell you about this. That's, like, a real indicator.
Right.
And that's when I called the midwife because I just texted her about 10 minutes before. And she was like, let's keep an eye on her for about a half hour. And when I came back in and saw you, I called her immediately. And I was like, it's time now. We really got to come in. Like, I can tell you were going through some stuff. And so we got in the car. And that was the only time I was a little scared was on the drive there. Because you were making some noises and going through some pain that was, it looked intense.
Yeah, no, that was the car ride there. That was the other thing, was thinking about, I didn't know how I was going to get through the car ride.
Wow.
And then thinking about having to take another car ride to the hospital.
Oh, was, so you were letting your brain go there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
So anyway, got there. I walk in. I mean, this is what the midwife wants to see when you're walking in, because I was like, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. I can't do it. It's like one of the best signs during the labor.
That you're
that it's
near
happening.
The end.
Yeah, yeah.
So they take all of my vitals and they check the baby's heart rate. Everything looks good. They fill up the bathtub. I've never been so happy to get into a bath before. So this is like 38 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I was in the tub for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So, get in the tub. The contractions continue.
Some fucking serious contractions. But the midwives were amazing at like calming you down in a way that I wish I knew how to do when we were at the house.
Right.
Like.
Right. When I walked in and I was like screaming, the midwife put her hands on my shoulders to like let them relax. And she was like, huh. and I kept calling her back in to do it. So, I could follow her lead, because when I made a specific sound that she made, it made it that much more manageable.
Mm-hmm.
But you were so amazing. You were sitting behind me, like not in the tub, but right behind me at my head, putting like cool washcloths on my forehead and telling me I was doing such a great job. And
it was weird because I have to admit, I was kind of nervous for that part leading up to it because... You know, obviously I wanted to be really good in that moment, but didn't know really what to say. And like, we've heard stories from other dads of like, you know, you need to mix it up what you're saying too. Don't say the same thing over and over.
Right.
And even the midwives, I think like a couple weeks before, had even mentioned to me, like sometimes we pull dads aside and kind of help them with that stuff.
Right.
But what was so interesting is, in our experience at least, it was more just like being chill in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't that much like talking really, but it was just like a calm, like, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like what the midwives would say, or that's what I would say. But it, like, in the moment, that wasn't weird at all. But it was more like, let's be chill and remind Elizabeth she's doing great. But it wasn't like we weren't like constant praise, like, you're doing it, let's go, come
no,
on.
No, no.
Or nothing. It was much more like calm and
just
like
letting me work through it.
Yeah, maybe like once every 5 minutes someone would say something. Wouldn't you say? Like, it was that.
I mean,
it was different than I had expected it to be.
I lost all track of time. But I will say, like, I know people play music, and I think I was just so tired and like overstimulated. All I wanted, I did feel, I thought maybe I would feel more comfortable like with the midwives not really even that around until it was go time. Yeah. But I felt much more comfortable having them like be in the room.
Yeah.
Just there.
Yeah, yeah.
Having you there. I was thinking about, because I've been reading about like in a lot of other like cultures and primitive cultures, the women go on, like go alone to give birth somewhere. Like that would be the most terrifying thing ever. I can't fathom. So anyway, yeah, we just had quiet and calm and let me work through it.
At that point, once you had gotten in the tub, did you have any sense? Did you have any sense of like, I'm going to be in this tub for an hour or 2 hours, or I might be like, it might be 6 hours till I have my baby? Were those thoughts going through your head? Because I had no idea how much longer it was going to take. And I didn't want to ask, especially in front of you.
Right, right, right.
Like, where are we in things? Did you have any sense? Did you know like you were close, or did you have no idea until they told you
you were close? At that point, because it had been almost 40 hours, I knew I was closer. Mm-hmm. And I would say once I got into the tub, my fear of the hospital diminished significantly. Mm-hmm. And then like an hour into the tub, she checked me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she didn't feel any cervix at all and I could push. And I almost didn't believe her because I like couldn't accept that good of news.
Yeah, me too. That was news earlier than I was expecting.
Me too.
When she was like, you can now start pushing, I was like, holy shit, we've only been here an hour. Oh my God.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, cool.
So
good to know.
So I started pushing. Pushed for like a little under an hour. I don't know.
Yeah, about that.
Pushing felt so much better to me, even though the contractions are like very intense. And a lot of women say this is, I think to me it was because it's like a means to an end. Like I knew if I continued doing my job, this was going to result in a baby.
Man, I didn't even know. I can't even comprehend it. I still can't comprehend it.
And you should see the head on this kid. She's got a big rose and noggin. So pushed away. Very bizarre. Sorry if this is TMI, but having like it for the midwifery practice is kind of philosophy is to let the head kind of comes out and then it goes back in and it comes out and it goes back in. And it's not the kind of pushing you see in the movies where it's like, go, go, go. You're supposed to kind of let her head come out slowly and like stretch you out.
Mm-hmm.
So there were like in between contractions where half of her head was outside of me and half was inside. And it was so weird. So it was a very surreal moment sitting. I sat back in the tub. Her head came out. It all happened very quickly. The midwives like helped guide the rest of her body out. And Andy was right behind me. And I pulled her up to my chest and we have photos of it. Like Andy had such an emotional reaction. I think I was kind of just in shock, but I was very happy. And she came up to my chest and was eyes open, totally calm, no crying. This baby didn't cry for like the first day of its life.
Yeah.
That's changed.
Yeah.
But just taking it, she looked directly at Andy right away.
Yeah, that was so crazy. Crazy.
It was so crazy. And she stayed on my chest in the tub for like a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
They waited till the cord stopped pulsing.
Yep.
Andy cut the cord.
Oh, yeah.
I delivered the placenta. then got out. We went and got in their, like, queen-size bed. I think we should give a shout-out to the Del Mar Birth Center in South Pasadena.
Amazing.
Just so amazing. The care was so phenomenal. Our midwife, Margot, and her assistant, Haley, were so great during the birth. And so then we just chilled. So this is probably way TMI, but I did have some tearing, got a little stitched up.
Right. That'll happen.
That'll happen. But that's relevant because I want to talk about this week also. So we chilled with her. She like had her first physical. She did skin to skin with both me and Andy. She nursed right away.
Yeah, that was amazing to
see.
It
was just so relaxed and calm. I have never felt better in my life.
Elizabeth looked like nothing had happened. Like she just woke up from like a 12-hour sleep and was feeling great. That will stick with me so much. It was so amazing to look at you, and you were just like, everything's great.
It's just like, it's that high that they talk about.
It's amazing.
And it was after, so it ended up being a 40-hour labor.
Yeah, you hadn't slept 40 hours. Your body just went through like the most traumatic thing it'll ever go through. You just went through like all this crazy pain. And yet you looked like it was like, the best rest you've ever been in your entire life. It was amazing.
And I looked amazing for like 2 days.
Yeah, the photos are amazing.
And then, I don't know.
Like if you needed to get your school pictures done, that would have been the day to do it.
I don't know what happened. I definitely don't. I lost that glow, but I feel like that's that high. I was high for 2 days. And the pain, the minute she came out, the pain just was totally gone. I was so overcome with love for her. I will say this. I feel like a lot of dads, especially, and a lot of moms too, don't really bond with their children right away. Mm-hmm. You know, the babies come out. It's like, who's a stranger? Especially for the dads. They haven't carried them for 9 months. Andy fell in love with her the second she came out.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's just amazing to see this little thing come up and was looking at me. And also...
looks a lot like
there's
him.
There's no question that this is my kid, which is also really weird and awesome. She's the best.
She's so awesome. So this might sound crazy to people. I actually didn't realize how weird this sounds to people until everyone kept asking me, like, wait, really? Is that a mistake, like a typo in the email? We were home 4 hours later.
Yeah.
We stopped at Chipotle.
We stopped at Chipotle 4 hours after daughter was born.
Andy could run in and get us burritos.
And then we were sitting in our living room watching TV, eating Chipotle with our new daughter.
It was so surreal.
That is hilarious.
Did
you have a thought that, I also think the crazy thing is like she had not cried. She did not cry when she came out. Did you have like at all in that first like 12 hours a weird thought like, oh, we might have like a really good baby here that won't cry at all?
Well, we did the second day, because the first 2 days all she did was sleep and she ate. But not even that much.
Yeah.
The second night, going into the third night, we watched the Happiest Baby on the Block DVD, which is like, for people who don't have kids, it's like an infamous thing. Every new parent watches or reads this thing, and it's about how to soothe a fussy baby. And when we were watching it, I said something like, don't you feel lucky? Like, we don't have a fussy baby.
Little did we know.
We really don't, honestly. I mean, so far, and I'm knocking on wood again because I'm saying it.
It's still very early days.
Yes. But that night was the first, I think, real night for us, which that's the night I lost my post-pregnancy glow. Mm-hmm. We were up all night. She was crying. So, and I said, this is a punishment we get for me having said that. But all in all, she's so good. She's so sweet. She has been breastfeeding like a champ. She's like, my milk came in the second day. Then her weight's gone back up to what it should be, because most babies lose a little weight the first week.
Her little umbilical cord thing fell off early. Everything seems to be like, she seems to be getting
she's a genius. She's advanced. But she's just like, we're just staring. We just stare at her, and she's so funny already. Her facial expressions are so amazing. I know, I get what the new parent thing is. I mean, I've loved babies before, obviously, my nephews and the little girl I nannied for, but this is a whole different thing. And I understand now. I mean, I'm going to speak for both of us. we're both fully those assholes that think our kid is just the most spectacular thing on God's green earth. She is. Yeah. We're both staring at her right now. We can't even podcast. Yeah, So that's the birth story. And then...
a lot of diapers. More diapers than I was expecting.
Lots of diapers.
And like that was a weird thing for me the first few times. It seemed very traumatic for the baby. And I was a little worried I was doing something wrong. But now I've just found out that she just doesn't like having her diaper changed.
Right. She's so little. So the stuff this week, I mean, as you heard in the beginning of this, I am just a ball of emotions. I am very tired.
Today, I would say, is the most tired I've seen you.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the most tired I was. And then I got some good Z's last night, in which you paid the price for. And you got hit hard with the tired today. It's no joke. It is no joke.
It's no joke. But you know what? And I also feel like I'm just getting to the beginning of the pinnacle of tired. Like maybe I'll check back in 3 weeks and I will be like, this is just impossible. But, and it does feel that way at sometimes, like I'd say when I was getting up for the fourth time at 5 a.m., you know, it's like, oh God, the tired hasn't affected me as much as I've been so affected by the healing.
Yeah.
Like the tearing and the stitches and the bleeding, and I'm sorry, this is all part of it, but I've had a really, really hard time with how slow it is. I feel like I'm completely like wounded. So every day it gets a little bit better now. But that's been really hard for me. And that and the tired aside though, it's still been like the best week.
Well, it's a different, too. It's like you're so tired, but you're also kind of like, there's this excitement constantly. Yes. So you can't, I've had a real hard time. Everyone always says sleep when the baby sleeps, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've had an incredibly hard time doing that during the day
because
it's just like, there's this excitement in the air. And like,
also this feeling like you need to do stuff while you can.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah.
So
that's been hard. I had the thought yesterday where, and this is a different kind of tired than I've ever experienced, sort of, but I had a feeling like the muscles in my back were like tired. Like I could feel them in a way that I've never felt before.
Right.
Like I felt them like drooping in my skin, being like, we're tired, which was weird.
I will say Andy has been amazing about taking care of stuff around the house, getting stuff ready for me. There's a lot of like... he has to sort of be my nurse, too, because there's stuff you have to do to take care of me, like different, I don't know.
Can you just say I need to be your doctor?
Kind of. You're my doctor.
I'm a doctor.
You are a sort of doctor. And my job really is supposed to be just feeding the baby and like sitting in bed and resting and healing. But that is really hard for me.
You had a hard time sitting.
I like to putz around and like do stuff. Even though I'm a homebody, I didn't think I'd have like cabin fever this bad, but I'm not really supposed
to be. Are
you
having cabin fever?
Yeah, I'd love to like sit in the sun.
I think you could sit in the sun.
Yeah, I might.
I think we could figure that out.
But I'm not supposed to really be walking around and stuff like that. I'm supposed to be healing, which I've not done. I would give myself a C+.
But we could walk you out just out onto the porch to get some sun. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten cabin fever.
You haven't?
No. I mean, I guess I've gotten to go on errands and run errands and stuff.
You have no idea. Okay, so every day Andy goes and gets a coffee at Starbucks. And I've never been so like jealous about something that because it's coffee.
And I get to get out of the house.
And you get to get out. Oh,
kills you'll be able to get out of the house in I don't know, like 4 months.
Oh, that's so funny. So funny. But yeah, so let's talk about the animals.
Yes.
Andy gave them grades today.
Yeah, we were joking about this earlier. We have Ruby the dog and Ramona the cat. And I said, I gave Ruby an A. in how she's been, and I gave Ramona a B plus for some reason.
Yeah, but why?
I don't know. Ruby the dog has been...
She's exceeded, I would say...
our expectations.
Yeah, weren't you... I kind of thought she would be... I have to say, poor Ruby, because God knows we love her to death, and she's our, you know, first baby.
She was sitting first chair, but now she's definitely second fiddle.
But we've definitely made lots of effort to give her tons of attention. You've been playing with her, getting going above and beyond to make her feel loved.
But she's also like crazy tired, because as much as we're getting up and the baby's crying and whatnot, the dog like can't sleep through that stuff either. So the poor little dog is crazy tired too. But she's been so sweet to baby Oprah, and like not that invasive at all. Like, she'll come check on her, and then when we tell her to get out of the way, she just kind of goes and does her thing. But she's been really, I think, is definitely very curious with baby Oprah and really likes baby Oprah, but knows she can't be totally up in baby Oprah's grill just yet.
Yeah, she's so respectful. Like, she'll come over to sniff her and like maybe give her a little doggy kiss. Mm-hmm. But it's just, instead, you know, Ruby's tendency is to, there's no cap on her excitement and love.
Right.
But with the baby, she'll just do like one little kiss and kind of tentatively then look at me to see if that's okay. And I'll say, okay, good job.
Yeah.
But it's not this like what she would normally want to do, which would be to like clobber. Right. You know? So I think you and I watched Ruby kind of figure it out.
Yeah. It took her like day three or four to figure out like, oh, this is permanent.
Well, I think it was actually, we took Oprah to the pediatrician a couple days ago. And when we came home, we put her like on a bouncy seat on the table while we ate. And so we walked in and you and I went and said hi to Ruby. And then we had food and we put Oprah up on the table. So Ruby didn't see her or anything. The baby started kind of fussing and I pulled her out and then went into the nursery and sat down with her. Ruby was like so excited to see her.
Oh, wow.
And it was like she didn't know that she was there. And so it made me think like it clicked for her and she was happy that this, you know, this new pack member was here, part of the pack.
Oh, I like that.
She's really cute. So, and Ramona's just been chill. I mean, she's kind of been a little more aloof. Oh, well, there also was this earthquake.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I forget which, it was one of the first mornings that we had the baby. It was at like 6 a.m.
Yeah, it was day one or day two, I feel like.
And we were jolted awake. I mean, it was strong, and I'm sure everyone's heard about this because everyone on Twitter was, I don't know. It was a big deal here. So, scared the shit out of us. Both Andy and I both first thought about the baby, which is kind of reassuring.
Very reassuring.
Our first instinctive thought was, oh my God, the baby. But neither of us had any idea what to do. So then afterwards, we just spent like an hour Googling what to do with the newborn, which there's not all that much great info, but... It's like grab it and get under a table.
Yeah.
So, but Ramona, the earthquake scared the crap out of Ramona. Like, she was close out of our bedroom, and as soon as I opened I heard her running back and forth. And as soon as I opened the bedroom door, she like bolted like lightning under the bed and stayed there for the better part of the day. So, mm-hmm. I feel like that plus the new crying and everything, she's kind of keeping to herself, but slowly she's coming out of her shell.
Mm-hmm. The first day that baby Oprah was here, when we were having the Chipotle, Ramona got perched up on the couch and just stared at her for like an hour and a half straight. Oh, yeah, that was pretty amazing.
That was amazing.
Like, she was guarding her, maybe.
Because Ramona, this is so stupid. Oh my God. I sound so dumb. But listen, I was like delirious. During labor... Because we were home for most of it. You know, we got kicked out of the birth center twice and then went back for the third time. But we're only there for a total of like 6 hours. Mm-hmm. So 34 hours of the labor was spent here at home. Ramona is the only other female in this house who has had babies. She had six kittens. Mm-hmm. When I adopted her, she had been pulled up off the street and she had had six kittens. Mm-hmm. So I kept looking at her thinking, man, you went through this and you had six kittens come out of you.
A new kinship between you guys.
Yeah. So when she was staring at baby Oprah, I thought, oh, this is the, she's the other mother.
Interesting.
I'm reading into it a little too much, maybe. What else can we cover? How are you feeling about, like, being a dad?
I feel real good. I feel...
Can I say this?
Yeah.
You are a natural. Like, you're a naturally good dad.
Yeah, I haven't been, like... I've been surprised how... I haven't been asking too many questions of you.
Like, maybe because you quickly realize that I don't know what I'm talking about.
But I feel like with, like, other babies before, like, if I've, like, someone else's held, it's like, am I doing this right? How do I do this? Is this okay? They're just right out the gate. It was just kind of like, just figure it out. Baby's crying, figure out how to stop the baby crying, which I feel pretty proud that I've figured out how to get her from crying a bunch of times.
Right.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, you're a good soother.
I love it.
Were you, before she was born, were you at all worried about your, like, feeling like you were going to connect to her right away, or?
No, because I've had friends, I wasn't, because I've actually had some friends tell me that they didn't connect, that it took a little time, but that they're like, but it just totally happened on its own and was amazing when it happened. So I kind of figured it, yeah, I wasn't worried about that at all, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I'd be a little freaked out if, like, I didn't feel anything or something from the beginning.
Right.
I guess that would have been a little worrisome, but no, I really wasn't that worried about it.
Yeah, I don't think I was very worried about that for me, but that definitely can happen. But I think just those first 2 days where I was riding that high, like, having never felt better, which is weird. Even physically, I felt better those first 2 days. It was the third day that everything hit, and I was like, oh my God, I'm broken. But yeah, I feel so bonded to her. I feel like I feel so bonded to her, and she's still sort of like, who are these?
Oh, yeah, man. I wish I could be in that brain. Who are these people?
But we, like, we're having so much fun talking about, I mean, the excitement of all of the firsts we're going to have with her and taking her on trips and teaching her how to swim and teaching her how to snowboard and, like, just getting out and doing stuff with her. And then also at the same time, I don't want her to grow or change any. Like, it's so amazing. She's so little. She has that new baby smell that I just want to, like, huff. It's so...
Yeah, I didn't...
So wonderful.
I didn't expect that at all, actually. For me... Leading up to this, there's like this excitement of like, oh, I can't wait till I have like a 2-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but like I kept having that vision in my mind, like, oh, I can't wait to have this little girl that I can take places with me and that can walk around and, like, I don't know, go on like daddy daughter things and all this stuff. I didn't expect to have that feeling, which I definitely have, like you have, of like, oh my God, I want her to stay like this.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Because this is amazing. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm already thinking like, oh, I don't want you to be a year old. You know, it's weird, but I'm sure as we go, each phase will be like, oh my God, this is the best phase. Look at all the new stuff she does.
Yeah, you just have to enjoy each part of it. But I'm definitely making a conscious effort to, like, really enjoy right now and, like, soak it all in. Cause she's just so tiny and sweet and floppy and, like, inquisitive. She has a couple of times a day where she's, like, wide eyed and taking it all in. And that's my favorite, when she's kind of,
yeah. Isn't there a name for that? Is there a name for that?
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Alert.
Oh God, that was a horrible laugh. Yeah, so basically we are those douchebag asshole new parents who are just obsessed with our kid. Getting here was a little bumpy. I will say, I mean, I'm really proud of myself.
Oh my God, you rocked it. Yeah, we haven't even gotten to this. I should have said this way earlier. The amount of, like, pride I had for you and was so proud that you did this.
and like to see you do it and like, I guess, yeah, it's just proud.
Were you, I don't know how you, like, I don't know if I could see you in so much pain. I guess because you know, like, we'd taken these classes and you knew what was coming and you knew what phase was.
Yeah, I'm so glad we had taken the classes. And also, honestly, I take the biggest comfort that I've taken in the whole thing, even when up against, like, maybe we'd have to go to the hospital and all this stuff. It's just like, you know, millions of kids are born all the time. This is like such a natural part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's like the most comforting thing of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was never like this, like, oh shit, is something going wrong or can she not do it or anything? But it was amazing to see you fucking like own it and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like such a beautiful thing. But yeah, I was never scared that you couldn't do it or that it wouldn't happen.
I definitely,
like, I knew it was going to happen.
I definitely was. I mean, I for sure was scared that I couldn't. I mean, there were definitely times where I was very close to throwing in the towel.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, it had gone so long that by the point that I got there, I was like, I've gone through all this. Now I'm going to get thrown in the towel. Then it's going to have to like go to the hospital and then go through all, like, I couldn't handle another start of something.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say I did it with like I have friends who, they fully did hypno babies and committed to it 100%. And they had hospital births, so an epidural was around the corner and they didn't do it. Like, that's not the situation. But I am really proud of myself. And I will say, just because I set out to do something and I did it, and during the process I really thought I couldn't. And mm-hmm. I still did it. Like, I proved myself wrong.
Yeah.
During the drive to the hospital or to the birth center, you looked over at me and you had tears in your eyes and you said, I've never been so proud of you.
Yeah.
That was so sweet.
I'll probably never think of that stoplight the same from here on out. Yeah. That was a very amazing moment.
Yeah.
Because that was the moment that I knew. Oh, I'm going to get choked up right now. That was the moment that I knew, like, holy shit, this is going. Like, I knew it was happening right then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was where I was like, this is going down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was really nice.
And now our lives as we know it will never be the same.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Will you hear her?
I think everything, and not to sound too lamely philosophical, but I think what's so crazy about all of this is, this just is our life now. This is what it is.
Right.
So it's like, it's bizarrely like, all right, now you have a kid, like, and you're going to have a kid. I'm not putting the right words on it, but it's just like, it's a weird thing about life. It's like, okay, so now this is this part. Here it is.
Yes. I feel the paradigm shift in such a big way, but to me, like, yeah. I'm so I feel like all these months leading up to it, and our listeners have kind of heard me have this transition from like focusing more on the podcasts and what I'm doing with my life. And I had a friend come over who is like a writer friend that, and she met baby Oprah and she was really sweet. And, but she doesn't know if she wants kids in her life or like, this is not a part of her life right now at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very cool. And like, we've connected a lot on like the pursuing TV writing and stuff. And so while she was here, you know, this is like day three or four, and she's like, so what's now? Like, what happens now?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean what happens now? This is like, this is now, and this is gonna be now for a while. And yeah, like, all of that stuff, and it's not to say it's not important, because it is. It's a huge part of me, but it all is such second fiddle and will always be for the rest of my life. And that's not to say it's not important, but this is just so much bigger mm-hmm. than that. And like, the love I feel, it is that it's that cliche thing of feeling this love that you've never felt before, and it's not really comparable to anything. And it's more of like, it's like an excitement. It's not just love. It's like when I get sad when I'm not like holding her enough, or I just want to be with her. She's so cute. Oh, can we talk about our like the photogenic thing?
Oh yeah.
Because I think we're very self-aware people, and we think she's the most beautiful angel ever to grace God's green earth. And we're like looking at her and thinking, oh my God, she's so beautiful. And but for the first 4 days, I would say we kept trying to take pictures of her, and she just looked like bloated and blotchy. And we were like, oh my gosh, is this that thing that parents have where we're seeing it in real time, though, because we're seeing what we see in her.
Yeah.
And then looking at a photograph and like thinking, oh no, do we have that kid that other people are like, oh no.
Yeah. She's well,
not cute.
The pictures we were taking would indicate that. But what didn't make sense was, wouldn't we look at the picture still and be like, oh no, this is the cutest baby ever? That was the real pickle that we were in. But she was not photogenic at all the first, 4 or 5 days, but now she's getting way more photogenic. Yeah, and yeah. God, if we don't sound like the most shallow people on the planet right now.
No, it wasn't like we cared. It's not like we were upset about it. It was more just like interesting. It was sort of a study of like that, the parent equivalent of beer goggles.
No, but I have to be super honest that like, there's definitely a resemblance to me. There's an even stronger resemblance to my dad, who is a handsome man.
Yeah.
But I definitely had the thought like, oh man, she looks like me and she looks like my dad. Ooh, I hope that shakes out okay for her. I definitely have had that thought.
But don't you think...
But now it's not as big of a concern.
She doesn't... I feel like, no offense to your dad, who is a very handsome man.
Yeah.
She's looking less and less like him. I think when she came out, you know, their faces are like they've gone through a little bit of a of a trauma situation. I don't know. She's so cute though. Yeah, I really can't take it. I can't take it. Well, if you've suffered through this almost hour with us, we really appreciate it. And I do want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners who've wished us well and kind of been on this journey with us. It means so much to us. Really felt the love. And, oh, shit. I wanted to give a shout out to this couple who is a big supporter of the podcast. I'm going to pause it because I'm going to go. Okay, sorry. Big supporters of the podcast, it's Ben and Karen. It's their 4-year anniversary, and he emailed said, so happy anniversary to you guys. Also, we've been getting a bunch of really nice donations for Baby Oprah, and that means a lot to us. So if you feel like you want to donate, we'll take it. It's totallylame.com. There's a big old fat donate button there. Also, if you don't feel like donating, but you want to support us at no cost to you, go click on our Amazon link and bookmark that. And when you shop on Amazon, just use that link and it...
We get a taste.
Well, I think we're going to go try to take a nap.
Yeah, the energy. I wonder what, as a listener, the energy. I'm sure people are like, their energy is way chiller on this episode.
Or I think we're just... Yeah, I mean, we're in a haze right now. It might be like this for a minute. But this was... I was so happy to do this podcast because I think it'll be cool to have for her, too.
Oh, my God.
You know? So... Baby Teddy, Baby Oprah, if you're listening someday, we love you so much. Don't do drugs. What were you going to do?
I ain't going to listen. You think I'm going to care about listening to your podcast?
Is she Southern?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, Lame Mods, Lame Weds, we love you. We will be back next week.